to Acts chapter 5, verse 17. That will be found on page 913 of the Pew Bibles. Our text for this morning is taken from the fifth chapter of the book of Acts. We will be considering verses 17 through verse 32. Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 17 and reading through verse 32. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council and all the senate of the people of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison. So they returned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And someone came and told them, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at the right hand as leader and savior, and given repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." And we are witnesses of these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's in our circles, in our church at this time, that's a controversial hymn. I heard one man once say, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Moses but to trust and obey." And what he was trying to say is there's no difference between Old Testament religion under Moses and New Testament religion under Jesus. And, of course, that's hogwash. And yet, there is a sense in which there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So him is good. The way some people are using it is bad. But it's interesting because in this passage of Acts, the idea of obeying is essential. You see how obey men, obedience. Obedience is very central here, and we're going to see that theme through these things. And what we're going to look at, our first point, I think I'm going to have three points in the sermon. So if you want to outline, you're actually going to probably get one from me. And the first point is the apostles' freedom to obey God. The apostles' freedom to obey God. Almost sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? How can I be free to obey? Doesn't obedience, those of you who work, having a boss tell you what to do, those of you who have parents tell you what you need to do, those of you who have a wife telling you what you need to do? Yeah. How is, or a husband, equal for everybody. Look at verse 17. But the high priest rose up and all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. And you see, it's this, but what were they jealous of? What happened before? But. You see, something was going on. And what was going on was the freedom of the apostles. Remember, the apostles were teaching. All of them were together in verse 12, Solomon's portico. And as they were preaching and teaching, and the Spirit came upon them, they were also healing. And people were flocking to them. That is why these folks were jealous. They were jealous because the apostles were drawing attention. But the reason why I mentioned the freedom of the apostles in obeying is we got to go further in this narrative, further back. Remember that John and Peter were arrested for doing a very similar thing. John and Peter were teaching and they healed the lame man and that caused them to be arrested and they were arrested and they were charged not to preach in this man's name. And even back then, Peter speaks of we should obey God rather than we actually, and here's the freedom of the obedience of the apostles. The freedom of the obedience of the apostles is not, it's not like Helen Reddy, me, you and me against the world. Like, okay, God, I'm the only one faithful. It's you and me against everybody else. And it's true that either they're for Christ or against them. And it's true that the Sadducees, the high priest, and the council are against Jesus. But just because they are against Jesus doesn't mean that Peter and John are against them. The freedom. You see, they are so free to obey Jesus that they do give respect, and we'll see this later, they give respect to the Jewish leaders who are opposed to Jesus. That's why back in the earlier part he says, you judge. They're respectful. And we even see here later on in the account what happens when they go and arrest all the apostles. What do the apostles do? Do they do what these protesters are doing and lie down and say, you've got to grab us by force and use rubber bullets? No. We're told that the Sadducees and the folks, they bring them not by force because they didn't want to rile the crowd. Well, the only way they could have brought them not by force was that the apostles were compliant. They have true freedom to obey God. A freedom that many of us don't have. It's a freedom from self. It's a freedom that only comes from God. It's a freedom that as God is for us, who can be against us? Wives, submit to your husbands. In some cases, it's hard in every case, but it's really hard in some cases. Oh, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved. Well, certain times I love her, but other times, oh. There's a freedom of obeying. That freedom is a freedom from self. It's a freedom from needing to be vindicated. We all want to be vindicated. It's a free to simply trust him and obey him in whatever circumstance I find myself. And that's what the apostles are doing. Freedom from jealousy. Oh, Peter's getting all the press. Well, Paul is a big missionary. He's going all over the place. The freedom that, and that's the freedom the apostles have. And you see it contrasted with the Sadducees. They had no freedom. And that freedom that they have to obey comes from their understanding of what Christ has done for them. That is the motivation. That's the problem with some people's take on trust and obey, that him. You know, like, unless you trust and obey, you won't have. No, you trust God. You trust what he's done. You put your trust in him. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus. And when we trust in him, when we take him at his word, then we respond. In our obedience, it's a response of that. It's not something that secures what we get. It is a natural outcome of what it means to trust. So we see the apostles after. We see John and Peter in this text. I did a lot of application, but John and Peter, they were said, "Don't, we're going to get you." So not only do John and Peter go back into the temple, but it's infectious. They have a warning. This is what they're going to do to us if we continue to do this. So the other 10 go, "We'll help you. We'll go along with you." And so there they are. From verse 12 through verse 16, the apostles are free. They're being freely. They're obeying God freely. And then they're arrested and put into public prison. And then in verse 19, and following, we see the folly of being disobedient. But during the night, the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go, stand at the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. By the way, verse 20 continues the idea of freedom. They were just arrested. They were put into prison. The angel let them out. And he says, "Hey, go back." But we were just arrested. You don't hear that from them. No. What's their response? Luke lets us know, not only do they respond of going to the temple, but it's interesting, he says, at daybreak. They went at a time in which I would nowhere be near the temple because I'm sleeping in. Okay. But they're going to get everybody. They're going to get the early risers. They would have been there from daybreak to sunset. We see their obedience. Even when they were, not only after they were threatened that something would happen, even after they get arrested, we see that they haven't lost their passion to obey God. And again, they're giving their word of life, they're preaching the gospel. Well, why are they doing that? To secure something? No, because they've tasted. They know what it means to be saved. And they want to share. But again, they were arrested. And notice the folly. You see, this is the issue when we think about our enemies, those who I spoke about, those who are against us or against, and I mentioned in certain relationships or work, whatever. But you see, the leaders tried to stop the apostles. And what happened? God intervened. That does not mean that every time something happens to you, God will intervene. But God has his plan. He will accomplish his purposes. He even uses the disobedience of people against him to accomplish his purposes. It doesn't mean what the sinful people do or what people do in disobedience is right. It is wrong. It's sinful. We should condemn it. But God uses it for his purposes. All things work. And so we see their plans are frustrated. And they can't fight God. We try. By the way, I try to fight God. That's why my sin, my disobedience, my pride, I try to fight God all the time. And I told many of you the story that when I finally decided to come to church the last time, because I would go in and out, in and out. I was like a yo-yo. Maybe yo is not the great metaphor, but I was going in and out, and finally I realized God always drags me back. Why fight him? And quite frankly, it's pretty good. And by the way, that's why we obey, because you can't fight him anyway. They say you can't fight City Hall. Well, you can. By the way, a lot of City Hall's going broke. That's why his people who trust him, even if the whole world's against them, they don't have to fight the world. They just have trust in Christ and let all these people do all the stuff. Christ has already won the victory. But we'll only know that if we have faith. You need to trust in order to obey. So the chief priests were frustrated because they were going to, you know, they had him in court. And so I can imagine the next day. I'm sorry. Got the Sanhedrin. They had a good night. They probably had breakfast. They got all the things set. Bring these guys out. They're not there. What do you mean they're not there? Did you let them out? No. Did someone break into the jail? No. The jail's securely locked and the guards are there. They're just gone. Deja vu. Deja vu. Remember the Roman guards before the cave? Deja vu. The same God who raised Jesus from the dead through his angel released these men from prison. Not that there's... It's just interesting the way that works out, isn't it? And so read the scene. They're talking about it. This is where the folly comes in. Verse 23, we found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, no one was inside. And they're talking about it. And then what happened? Well, someone comes in from the other side. Look at this. Now, when the captain of the temple, the chief priest, heard these words, they were greatly perplexed. Duh. I'm sorry, but that you may not like the language, but I think that's what the scene is saying. They're like, uh-oh. They're greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. The foolishness of disobeying God. And someone came and said to them, notice they don't give this person's name, because magic on the chief priest, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple teaching the people. The one thing you need to give to those who disobey God is they're consistent. Because once again, they go to the temple where these men are teaching, and they take them and bring them back. But those who obey God are consistent as well. Because we're told that these people didn't do it by force. Why? Because they were afraid of being stoned by the people. Again, think about it. Again, remember when Jesus was arrested and what they were doing? Their fear of the people? Here again, there's fear of the people on these people who disobey. And yet you see the apostles, they are not fighting. If they fought, they would have to do it by force. They're not occupiers. They're preachers. They're servants. They're those who, they're beggars who have received something to eat, and now they're trying to feed others. That's what Martin Luther calls evangelism. And so these folks still try and fight. And when they brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, we strictly charge you not to teach in this name, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. I want to make two points here. One, look at these unbelievers, and they're unbelievers. They refer to a person twice, and yet they don't use his name. They don't use the name Jesus. They didn't say, we told you not to teach in the name of Jesus. They say, in this man's name. And then they say, you want to bring this man's blood upon us. Their refusal to acknowledge Jesus. Their refusal to acknowledge Jesus, as opposed to the apostles who say in verse 30, and God our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed, and they talked to him as Lord and Savior. The contrast between the freedom to obey and the foolishness or the folly of disobeying. And here's the other folly, verse 28. You want to bring this man's blood upon us. Well, you did. You know you lied. You know you brought the wrong charges. You know you instigated the people. I know it and you know it. You don't want to admit it, but it's true. Again, that sense of obedience, and Peter rose with the other apostles. We must obey God rather than men. We must obey God rather than men. And verse 30 is a reason why we must obey God. Not so we can get our extra goodies. Not so we can ensure something. No. We have a message. And we are recipients of that message, and we are proclaimers of that message. Our obedience is all about that. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. And by the way, that hanging him on a tree is referring to back to the Mosaic law, where an extreme lawbreaker was a flagrant lawbreaker was hanged on a tree. But you hung him on a tree. But God exalted him at the right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel for the forgiveness of sins. You know what they're doing in that passage? They are not just contrasting the Sanhedrin and the leaders of Israel with God. They're doing our third point. The free offer of the gospel. We see that in those last two verses. They recount the historical basis of the gospel. Your sins and your sin put him, and God raised him to right hand, and not only made him leader, but also savior for people just like you and just like us. He's not only a leader. See, my obedience is not just because he's my leader, but he's my savior. And he's savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. They're talking to the leaders of Israel. God has done this to grant you forgiveness. Come on. You see, that's one of the practical reasons why we don't fight our enemies. It's not the motivator. Again, the reason why we motivate is we obey God, and therefore we have to obey whatever structures are there. But we don't give our enemies a chance to bring discredit upon the name of Christ because we're jerks. Peter talks about that. Okay. If we're persecuted for Christ, good. But if we're persecuted for us, our sin, that's bad. And we ought not sin against those who sin against us. By the way, it's impossible without God's Spirit. And sometimes, and I know it, and well, not sometimes, often with us, it's hard for us and takes time for us to implement it. That's the struggle of the Christian life. That's why we hear the word preached. That's why we come to Christ, because we want to be built up and nurtured so that we can begin in some small measure to do what God calls us to. In verse 32, again, this is the idea of the free offer. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Notice, by the way, the Holy Spirit was given to all the apostles at Pentecost. We talked about that, and not just the 12, but all believers. And somebody who comes, and again, I think this obedience here is not the obedience. We can't say in the obedience of preaching that they get the Holy Spirit. No, I think the obedience here, obey God, I think ultimately is to trust in God. What is the work, when it's asked of Jesus, what is the work that God requires to believe in the one whom he has sent? I think that's, and it may encompass more, but that's the key thing, is that we have to obey, we have to trust in who the one has sent, and when you trust in Jesus, then you are given the Spirit. In that sense. But notice here, I would argue that this, these last verses, are the apostles offering the gospel or presenting the gospel to their interrogators. If you've been here when I preached on Luke 15, the same thing Jesus is doing in Luke 15. Real quick summary. Luke 15, the Pharisees are upset because Jesus entertains, is pardoning with the low classes, the tax collectors and sinners. They're upset. So then Jesus tells them a parable, and that one parable is three parables. And the older son, in that last parable, there's a reason why the structure, but the older son, what does the father do to the older son? When the older son protests what's going on. Come in. That's what the apostles are doing. And that's what we need to do as we encounter people. It's the free offer. We offer to everybody. We offer to our friends, and we offer to our enemies, and we offer to those who are in between. But we do that because we have the freedom to obey God because of what God has done and where we stand because of Christ. We give the free offer of the gospel because we know all those who fight God are doing folly. It's foolishness. I started with the title of the sermon, Trust and Obey. I referred to the hymn, and maybe some controversy I like to tell people. You see, we're called to trust and obey. And what that hymn says, and I'll say this, the hymn says, I think this is for this, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but trust and obey. You know that. What it doesn't say is, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be justified in Jesus or saved in Jesus. No. If we trust in Jesus and fight him, to use the analogy, our neck will hurt. Because not only is it foolish for the unbelievers to fight Jesus, it's foolish for believers to fight Jesus. In fact, it's even more foolish. It's even more foolish. He loves you. He loves you. I call it the Christian daisy. He loves me. 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 Trust and obey. Have the freedom. Understand you have the freedom to trust Jesus. Understand you have the freedom to suffer at the hands of unbelievers. And you even have the freedom to suffer at the hands of believers. Understand that all those who oppose God, God has already won the victory, and therefore it's foolishness. And understand, it's not the only reason, but the main reason, well, the reason why the church is here, one of the main reasons, is that we offer this message to others. Let's go to God now.